That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Unparked Rules podcast in association with Blue Collar Street Food, the best street food in Reading, undisputed, as everybody in Reading knows already. Been joined on another Victory Sunday today by Nick Holton. Nick.
Hi, Alex. How are you? You all right?
Doing very well. It's another win for Reading yesterday, so another weekend made. And on the other end of this call, Matt Lansley.
Good afternoon, Alex. Victory Sunday, always love them.
Got to love a Victory Sunday indeed. Looking back at yesterday, at home against Barnsley, probably one that people went into with some high expectations. And I think the expectations might have been raised when people saw the team sheet yesterday, Matt. We saw Liam Moore fit, Scott Dan making his debut, Josh Laurent moving back to his natural central midfield position, and Aziz back on the bench. Do you reckon that was a stronger lineup than you were expecting to see?
It was certainly getting back. I think the fact we had fit centre backs at last, you know, it was always going to be a positive, you know. and I think seeing Aziz back, it was nice to see another one player back from the injury list. But seeing Hoylett going the other way, it was like one step forward, one step back, because you've got a player back, you've lost a player, but hopefully Hoylett won't be out for too long. I think a lot of people were optimistic. I spoke to one of the guys that I stand with in Club 1871. He was predicting a 4-0 win, so I think that was a bit of a a bit of an ambitious scoreline, I thought, at the time. I think the optimism was high for the game. But I mean, there's quite a nice feel-good factor around the place at the moment, isn't there? So I think everyone was just looking forward to it, and like I say, coming in with a bit of expectation.
Yeah, Nick, that feel-good factor is definitely there after, what was it, 4 wins in 5 before yesterday, and it felt like there was certainly some expectation going into it. Did you expect us to come away with 3 points after seeing that team news?
Yeah, I think the team, it was nice to have an actual back four in their actual positions. I was quite confident Yeardon would be fit, because it was a cut foot, so I don't think it was too bad. I thought we'd recover in time, and more, especially after missing the Jamaica international duty, you weren't sure, but it's good to have them both available. Scott Dan's looked good when he's come off the bench prior to the game as well. I wasn't sure. I was that confident going into the Barnsley game. It's one of those banana skin kind of games. I don't think they're necessarily as bad as their position suggests, although they're not as strong as last season. But we're on a roll. We've been steady since the last international break. I still think there's more to come. But we've been getting results and confidence is there, and we've looked pretty good in the last month or so.
Yeah, certainly the first 15 or 20 minutes yesterday was, it felt like almost a continuation of that last month. We did look probably the more dominant side, I'd say, for the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the game. And that, although it didn't result in any chances particularly, there was the first moment, and only real moment, for George Puskas and his involvement in the game was a fairly strong dribble from 30 or 35 yards out, Matt, which ended up being resulting in a blocked shot out for a corner. We'll get the discussion about Puskas out of the way now, because I feel like we've discussed George Puskas on social media, on this podcast, ad nauseum, and people are probably sick of discussion about George Puskás. So, Matt, is George Puskás going to start in midweek, or was that his kind of, you know, final chance playing up front as a starter for Reading?
Yeah, I think now, especially with Aziz back, I know we saw Aziz back on the wing when he started earlier in the season, but we know he can play up top. And I think earlier in the season, most people would have said just keep him out wide. But the problem with Puskás is he used to actually at least just affect the game a little bit, you know, with his running. He'd get into positions, he'd get chances. Yes, his finishing sometimes was questionable, and he probably could have got a lot more goals early on than he did, but he was at least getting into the positions. He was score or having chances, he was affecting the game, which he just isn't doing now. You know, he's not even affecting the game. You know, people might say he's making runs, but they're pointless runs, because they're runs that balls will never be passed to him, because of just where he's running to. Like, he's running into two defenders, and it's like it's a sad one, because you can see the confidence is just gone from him, you know. And taking him out of the starting line, it's probably just a nicety almost for Puskás now, because he's just not doing anything in the games that he's playing with, and that's the problem. If he was at least doing something, you could maybe justify keeping him in, but he's not even affecting the game. So, and I kind of, like we said before the podcast, I think Paunovic is kind of a bit fed up with him almost because of it. You know, he's collared him for Clark. He's collared him for Aziz on his first game back from injury, you know. So I think, like, I think there's a very, very good chance he starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, one person who is fed up of George Puskás is Mr. Nick Holton. you're not a Puskás defender at all, Nick. So
yeah, I'm very fed up of him. I just don't see what he brings. I don't think he's got any particular strengths at all. I don't think he's necessarily bad at everything, but I just don't think he's more than average at anything. Even as Matt pointed out, with the runs he does try to make, even when the ball is played through to him, he just doesn't seem to have the pace to get onto it, or the ability to do anything with it when he does get onto the end of it. I think this season, maybe the QPR game was the only game where he's actually played okay. And I mean, he should have scored in that game and put it to bed as well. Yes, I don't think it was his worst game yesterday either. He wasn't good, but it wasn't by far his worst game. I just don't know. It's like playing with 10 men, isn't it? At times, the service is there. We've got the players to provide him with the ball. Femi comes on later on and we look much better, basically. So yeah, I just think it's cut our losses next summer. Even if we lose out on him, lose out on money for him, it's inevitable really, isn't it? But it just needs to go. I just can't stand him anymore. I'm just fed up. 8 million euros or whatever it is, and it's just useless. You pay that money, you expect some strengths from him, and he's poor. He's really just a really poor striker.
One player who did get a chance later in the first half, Ovi Djaria, found himself, after a decent ball through, running through on goal, and probably made the wrong decision to try and shoot himself instead of laying it off. He had Swift open on his left-hand side. This was from a short pass, which was quite strange, because there was an awful lot of long balls yesterday, Nick, from the back. It definitely felt like we were targeting kind of over-the-top passes yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like we were just trying to get him behind. The build-up play wasn't too bad at times, but we were trying to get him behind, I think, too, without the pace up there, really. I think TDB wasn't really suited to the right wing. You know, Jari is not that sort of over-the-top player either. He likes to get on the ball and dribble with it or play off someone, link up with players. And obviously, Swift's, he makes some runs from deep sometimes, but it just didn't seem to work. I think Scott Dan and Liam Moore were trying to play those long balls, drink water, but just wasn't happening really. I just don't think we had the direct pace in behind to make it work at that point.
Yeah, it resulted in a relatively feeble shot in the end. You're right, the pace probably wasn't there up top. We weren't the only side to create chances in the first half. Barnsley certainly had their opportunities as well. Matt, Southwood did actually spill across yesterday, as has kind of been raised a couple of times. And Barnsley probably should have got the opener in that first half, despite the fact that Southwood did then end up making a fairly good save from Corley Woodrow pretty soon after he spilt the ball.
Yeah, and I think he made a very good save from range as well that was going right in the bottom. Was that the Corley Woodrow? I can't remember if that.
I don't think that was it.
Oh, it was the Woodrow chance, yeah. But, you know, I think, like, I'm more than happy with Southwood at the moment. To be fair, like, yes, he's making a couple of spills here and there, but I think some of the saves he's making and he's influencing the game, like, I think it's something he has to work on. But you look at what he brings, what Raphael brings. We've talked about it a million times, Raphael from range. I don't think Raphael saves that shot from Woodrow because it was going right in the bottom corner. I was perfect in line to see it going in. I was worried for it when it was going through the air. But I mean, I think he's just asserting his number one spot more, like, the more the weeks go by, Southwood. You know, I don't think there's much of a conversation on who's our number one right now. Like, yes, like I say, he spills one or two crosses, but they're not actually into dangerous areas in the end, really, you know. And so hopefully he does clean that up, because yes, one will probably come that will cost us possibly, but with the saves he's making, you know, he's more than making up for it in what he's bringing with his saves. So
yeah, it doesn't feel like Raphael is going to win that spot back anytime soon. And Reading have probably kind of lucked into a first choice championship goalkeeper there, Nick, in a sense.
Yeah, he's come in because of an injury, hasn't he? And he's not looked out of place at all. And he's probably getting better and better. Maybe yesterday was his best performance. You could argue Fulham. But like Matt was saying, with Woodrow chance, that was behind that. And it was going in the bottom corner and he hit it with some real fizz. He's full stretched, got his fingers onto it. And I don't think Raphael gets that. I think that's a goal if Raphael's in goal. I don't think Raphael was necessarily performing too badly this season. I think the defence let down a lot of the time. I don't think he was in form where you should drop him necessarily, but Southwood's got his chance through the injury, deserved his chance, and he's running with it. He's great. And like you've already said, there's no discussion to be had on who's the number one. It's comfortably Luke Southwood. And unless he drastically drops form, he's going to be number one now until the end of the season. Raphael will leave on a free. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to next season with Southwood continuing as our goalkeeper at the moment.
Raphael, you're absolutely cursing that whiteboard in the dressing room, I'm sure.
Well, how do you feel if you're Raphael right now? You know, like, after pretty much being first choice for 2 years,
yeah,
punching a whiteboard, forcing your own injury, mm-hmm, that has now almost brought in your replacement. You must, well, he's only got himself to blame.
Yeah, you'd be so annoyed at yourself, I think, because I don't think he was in droppable form. He wasn't brilliant, but he was doing okay. And he's just, yeah, cost his place, and I can't see him getting back in now.
I think he's going to be desperate for the move to technology going forwards and everything being on iPads, getting rid of whiteboards.
Yeah.
There was one controversial moment in the first half. A decent crossover from Ajari, Matt. And talk us through what happened here.
The linesman has no eyes. I think that's all that can be said. It was an odd one, to be fair. It was the Deli Bashiru offside goal. For those that might not have remembered it, it was. And if you've not seen, the EFL show showed it beautifully for how poor the linesman was, because he was about 2 yards onside. It seemed onside when we were in the ground. It has to be said, I was behind the goal, so I didn't have the best view along the line. Probably wasn't the best to judge, but it seemed onside at the time. And yeah, it is just like when you look back at it, it's not even close. I mean, I think it's Swift over on the far side. He's not even offside. You know, there's no player that's even close to being offside. It's just a dreadful decision. But the refereeing all across the championship yesterday seemed woeful. Missed penalties here and there, offside goal that wasn't offside. You know, it's we talk about it so much in the championship about how poor the officiating crews are, but how the linesman's even flagging for that when he's literally like 2 yards onside is just baffling. And it could have changed the game. You know, like, I mean, to be fair, it would have put us 1-0 up at half time. You always kind of felt that if Barnsley went down 1-0, that would have sunk them. It certainly did when we obviously got the winner. But yeah, it was a lovely move as well, because it was a great ball from Ovie. It's a brilliant ball from Ovie. Delhi took it down quite well, kind of bundled it over the line in the end. But I mean, it was a great move, great pass, pretty good finish. It was just a shame that the linesman decided he wanted to be paid as a Barnsley player. So,
I mean, the officials weren't good overall, especially the assistants, Nick, yesterday. I think they were both quite poor. The second half, I can remember there was a terrible offside call on George Puskas, which looked awful as well, and he would have been for on goal. I don't want to focus too much on, you know, performance from officials, but it does feel like we've had some pretty poor ones this year.
I think we get poor ones nearly every game in the Championship, and it's been like that for a number of years. I think you do well to get two or three good refs a season at this level. Yeah, I mean, the first offside for Delhi Bashiri goal, he's a couple of yards. He's not even close. He's a couple of yards onside. It's just ridiculous. The Puskas one on the halfway line, it's hard to tell from where I am, if I'm honest. I'm not too sure. I haven't seen it back. But yeah, he had a lot of space. And if he was offside from that position, I'd be disappointed in Puskas, because there's no reason why he should have strayed offside there, because he had so much space and room to run into. We're used to the officials. If I'm honest, I'd like to see officials come out and explain some of their decisions, not every decision. But I mean, for that example, that Delhi Bashir one, if that cost us the win yesterday, then you'd want the referee to come out or the linesman to come out and explain their decisions. I think they're overprotected, as they say goalkeepers are. I think referees are actually overprotected sometimes. Yeah, I know they're ridiculed. I know it's not the easiest job, but sometimes decisions really do cost teams. And at this level, they're constantly, you probably get better referees lower down the pyramid, to be honest. And it needs to improve. And there's never a discussion about improving the standard of officiating in the Championship. And that needs to change.
As it stands, that goal didn't count. 0-0 at half time. I was quite surprised it was 0-0 at half time, because it felt like there was a lot of chances in that first half. The opening to the start of the second half, though, definitely could have been a goal at the wrong end. Nick, we looked so sloppy for the first 5-10 minutes of that opening of the second half. And Barnsley could have scored after 30 seconds and hit the post. And what went wrong at the start of the second half for them to kind of suddenly come out and look dominant?
Yeah, I was saying to my dad at half-time, or just before half-time, I'd take a nil-nil at half-time just to sort of get Pano to kick something up them, get them going a bit more. And we had seemed to have the opposite effect at half time, and we started terribly, and Barnsley seemed to up the ante, and we looked out of position a bit. There's a nice little dinked ball across, actually. I thought someone might be nodding that in. I think it must have been Scott Dan cleared the ball, headed it away, but it just fell to the Barnsley player free just inside the air, and he hit it really well, and fortunately it hit the post. We took about 10-15 minutes to probably wake up in that second half, and I think the change had to be made, and that's when we seemed to turn it around and start performing more to the level you expect from a team at home to a team against a team in the relegation zone. And yeah, I don't know what happened at the start of the second half. Maybe Barnsley just thought, if we nab an early goal, we'll go 100%, nab an early goal and sit back. Maybe that's why they came out charging at the start of the second half and we didn't, just to exert some energy. But luckily we got away with that and sort of progressed forward and got the goal in the end. So that was good.
It felt like Barnsley came out of a little bit of a change of formation, potentially, Matt, or a change in style. Do you think it was, do you think that kind of was part of the reason that Reading looked so sloppy?
Yeah. And I think you've got to give a bit of credit to Barnsley with how they did come out. They came out, you know, we said how much they weren't pressing in the first half. They were almost letting Reading and, you know, Drinkwater especially just dictate the game in that first half. Everything was like they had time. Drinkwater was spraying passes right and left, and we were very much in control of it, and kind of must have been a change of impetus at halftime, because they came out, they were pressing, we had very little time on the ball even at the back. So that chance even came from I think it was Liam Moore on the right, or it was either Moore or Yeardom getting pressed, trying to play it up the line and getting intercepted, you know, and then Barnsley came and press, cross it, falls their player on the edge of the box and cracks it against the post. So I think you've got to give some credit to Barnsley, but it was a bit disappointing because like Nick said, I think you would have taken a nil-nil at halftime, because it could have, on another day, it could have been 1-1, 2-2, to be fair, at halftime with some of the chances that there were for both teams. But it just didn't seem to happen. It took a bit of time to adjust to their pressing, which, again, you've got to give credit to Barnsley for that. But it was good at least they weathered it out. You know, they weathered it out for 10, 15 minutes. The change of Aziz that came as well was pretty crucial and helped open up some channels going forwards. And it was just good that we could get through that phase of pressure.
And just before the change for Aziz, we almost saw the ridiculous, the sublime from Josh Laurent, Nick, who attempted a Zlatan Ibrahimovic 35-yard lob from out wide.
Yeah, I actually forgot that happened until you just said it, to be honest. The goalie comes out, makes a big hash of it, doesn't clear his lines properly, goes straight to Laurent. If his touch is better, he probably hits the target. He probably scores, because he would have got it under control and had the shot prior to Collins recovering the position. But the effort, considering the touch was a bit poor from Laurent, was still pretty good to hook it on target and looping into the goal. But Collins managed to get back and stop the ball going into the net. But it was actually probably Josh Laurent's best moment of that match, to be honest, because it sums up his day with the touch and not managing to get it into the net. But I just felt like at that point, we weren't going to score. It's just going to be a drab 0-0. And yeah, it would have been a lovely goal. When the goalie comes out and makes a hash of it off their line, it does get you up off your seat a little bit. And you want someone to score some sort of worldy 40-yard lob or whatever. So yeah, that would have been a nice goal to break the deadlock. But unfortunately, didn't quite happen. And the goalie got back and stopped it.
And then the sub did come. Puskás off at the hour mark for Femi Aziz. And one of Femi Aziz's first touches was a pretty big chance, Nick, for Reading. A loose pass from Barnsley, giving the ball to Danny Drinkwater just inside the centre circle. Femi Aziz, good performance yesterday. And I mean, talk us through the chance.
Yeah, he came on. I think he changed the game for us a little bit with his... He's just got that pace that Puskás doesn't have. And he's got great work rate, but it helps being quick enough to close a defender down, put them under immediate pressure. Whereas Puskás might close the player down, but he doesn't necessarily get there quick enough to rush them. So Aziz is now rushing the defenders and he's running in behind, which wasn't working prior to that. It's a good quick pass from Drinkwater. That's what you expect from him now, from what we've seen and the level he's capable of playing. Aziz runs in behind and he's through, and you think he's at least going to get a shot away. And he just hesitates, I think. And maybe it's just because he's come back from injury and it's his first game since that, but he just takes too long. And I think it's Helek. He gets back into position, but he allows the defender to get back into position. He could then square it to Ajaria after he's wasted his 1-1 opportunity, but he takes the shot on. Selfish striker kind of thing to do. But if he plays it to Ajaria, Ajaria's more or less got an empty next. Collins is out of position. I think there's a defender on the line, like there was in the goal later on. But Ajaria would probably score that. So maybe he should square it and we score. But he's got to be quick. He's just got to bear down on goal and either try and round Collins or take the shot and before the defender recovers it. And we should have scored, actually. It's a shame. But yeah, it was nice to have that change, to have a player capable of getting in behind.
Just a little bit of a lack of decisiveness, perhaps, Matt, from Aziz there.
I think it was on his right foot, and you can tell he's not confident on his right foot in that situation, because I think you almost think that was probably the one chance you would have wanted Puskás to be on the field to take, because we know how he does dither on the ball sometimes, Puskás, but at least to be on his right foot. But possibly a bit of confidence, you know, like I say, it was pretty much one of his first touches before since coming back from injury. So you can say possibly a bit of confidence there. But I mean, it was a great run. It was a great run in the end. Hopefully, he can just put that one to bed. He scored some good goals already this season, so hopefully he can just put that one to bed and just really kick on from there. Maybe work a bit on his right foot, and he might be able to take that one next time.
Hopefully so. If he gets another chance like that, I'm sure he won't be hesitating next time. Thankfully, it didn't cost Reading. And I can quite happily sit back here, Matt, and I'll let you describe the magic that was both Scott Dan and John Swift for this goal.
Yes. Scott Dan, Andre Pirlo, Andre Iniesta, whatever you want to call him. I mean, it was like... Like Nick said, it was the game was petering out. You kind of thought it's just going to be a drab 0-0 against a pretty poor Barnsley side. But I mean, the pass from Scott Dan, I mean, it's a bit of a strange one from the Barnsley press, because the Barnsley press started. It might have even been Woodrow who came pressing him, but Scott Dan takes it inside, and the press just completely goes. It's just a little flick inside, and he just averts it all. Sprays it out to the left, and then I mean to do a 40 yard pass like that on a dime to Swift as a centre back. I mean, I didn't know Dan had that in his locker. I was speaking to one of my mates who's a Palace fan after the game. He said he is pretty comfortable and good on the ball like that. He can do that. So to be fair, it was part of the game plan yesterday with the balls that were being sprayed over the top out wide from the centre backs, but it could be something that's targeted going forwards. But I mean, the takedown from Swift, the run from Swift, I mean, we've spoken about him almost probably on every single podcast. It probably wasn't his best game yesterday, but when he can pop up and do a run and score a goal like that, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because he's just got us out of a hole again. He's given us that bit of magic which you sometimes need in a team that's pushing at the right end of the table. And like I say, we're talking about him week after week after week, but he's almost becoming almost like Buendia was for Norwich when they went up. You know, he's just too good almost for the championship at this level. You know, he's gotten through his injuries. Touch wood, fingers crossed, pray to whatever God you have and just that he stays fit, because I mean, he's some player. It's depressing thinking that we might lose him in the summer on a free, but I mean, just enjoy him whilst we have him, because when he's scoring goals like that, it's just amazing.
And if anybody can convince John Swift to sign a new contract, miracle worker. I'm not going to try and get you to find more words to describe just how good John Swift is, Nick. But Scott Dan, how good was he at the back yesterday? I mean, it feels like we might have found ourselves like a centre-back who is a Michael Morrison kind of impact, but one level up from Michael Morrison almost.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He's an upgrade on... He's Michael Morrison upgraded. He's experienced. He can tackle. He can head it. I mean, he's not even that tall for a centre-back. He's 6'1". He's so good in the air. He's just imperious all round. He really is a brick wall. You can see him shouting everyone as well and ordering, you know, like you can see the leadership skills he has and the experience he has from that. Nothing got past him yesterday. He won every header. The tackle on the halfway line where he just stood still as someone tried to dribble past him, and that was just classic. I loved it. And his passing was good. He played a good pass through the middle right up to the, can't remember who it was to now, but it was just a low ball through, right through the midfield. Must have been to Swift or Puskás or someone, but it was a really nice pass. The vision for a centre-back is pretty decent. And then the ball to Swift, as we've already touched on, perfectly into his path for him to then, he still had to do a lot, Swift, the chest down and drive forward, etc. But yeah, great. And it's so good to have him. I think whoever, Dan's going to be our main centre-back now, we're probably more. But yeah, I think whoever's next to him is in for a good time, and they'll learn a lot. Holmes and McIntyre in particular can learn a lot. I'm not sure if he's left-footed, but he played on the left, so I'm assuming he's left-footed. I'm not too sure, because Moore moved to the right. I have no idea, but I thought that was quite interesting to see. So maybe he's more comfortable on the left. I have no idea. But he's he's making us look very solid. And even the chance where Barnsley hit the post, I think he made the clearance with the header. But I think a lot of the time that would have been a goal, a nodded in goal for Barnsley or whoever else we were playing. So, yeah, he's great to have him on board. He probably was man of the match, maybe him or Southwood, I'd probably say. But yeah, great to have him. And hopefully, if he stays fit, we're laughing. I think we're going to have a strong season with him at the back.
I think the biggest thing about Dan's performance was that he just made defending look so easy. I mean, there were so many times where he just, multiple blocks he made, like you said, the tackle he made, it was just beyond the centre circle where Barnes player is just running at him and he just stops him dead, kills the ball dead at his feet. Barnsley player trips over and he's walking away with the ball. He just made it look so easy yesterday. And we talk about how good he is in the air. He was like, I mean, I think the Palace fans used to call him Scott Dan the goal machine, like from heading goals in from corners and everything. Like, hopefully he'll pick that up because Morrison almost got that title over the past few seasons. So if he can come in and do that, even better. But I mean, he just made everything look so easy yesterday. And I think people always say it's one of the biggest compliments you can pay to defenders, you know, by just making it look so easy. And he never really worried at all yesterday. Even when we were trying to hold on at the end of the game, there wasn't that worry. Probably part of it just because of how good Scott Dan was yesterday.
One thing that I think Scott Dan really has added, and Drinkwater as well, is something that got levelled at Reading a lot last year, was there was a lack of experience in the side and a lack of winning experience, perhaps. Scott Dan and Danny Drinkwater have been there and they've done it. They've played in the Premier League and they know, you know, they've got the quality, I guess. That's the main thing that these additions have done this summer, is they've added a lot of quality, Nick.
Yeah, Drinkwater, as we know, is a level above, more than a level above, I'd say. He's probably a top, well, I don't know, maybe a top half Premier League player still. But you can see why he did so well at Leicester and then got the move to Chelsea and got some England caps. He's a really classy player and he's got that experience as well. It's not like a young player of potential like Elise or even Swift and Djaria, who've got so much ability and quality to grow. These players have been at the top level already. And I mean, Drinkwater really has done it, hasn't he? He's won the top titles, Premier League, FA Cup, played for England. And Dan's been in Premier League for, 10 years, maybe more? He's captain of Crystal Palace. I mean, it says it all yesterday that Barnsley didn't really have any clear-cut chances. Nothing easy was there because I think the defence was so solid. And I don't actually understand. I can see Drinkwater, I know, and picked him up because obviously there's issues away from football there. But with Dan, I don't know how someone didn't pick him up and take that gamble before us, whether it's a newly promoted Championship team, who needed the experience, or one of the stronger Championship teams just to bulk up their side, like a Fulham, or I don't rate Tim Ream, for example. He'd walk in over Tim Ream at Fulham, and West Brom as well. He'd suit their style of play, big in the air, physical. He'd score a lot of goals for West Brom as well. So, yeah, I don't understand how he was available for so long. No idea.
Thankfully, he was. Managed to get him, and he's definitely contributing to this run of form that Reading are on now. And I think it's five wins and six.
Five wins and six,
Genuinely beginning to lose count, which is a nice feeling. And it's definitely breeding a lot of confidence into the team, Matt. Going forwards, we've got a lot of games coming up in the next, I think it's 3 weeks until the next international break. It's not a long time. We've got five games before the next international break. In the next week, we've got Blackpool at home on Wednesday night, followed by Blackburn away next weekend. Given our run of form, are you confident that we're going to go unbeaten in these next two games?
Blackpool, you'd certainly have to favour us. I think, you know, Blackpool probably have started probably better than I think most probably would have thought they would have started, to be fair, in the Championship. Credit to them for that. You know, they're difficult side to beat, good on the ball. But I think with the run of form, we got another home game. You know, the games are coming thick and fast. They're almost, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, or Saturday, Wednesday in this case, but Saturday, Tuesday, pretty much until the international break now. But you got to favour us against Blackpool, I'd say. Blackburn's probably a bit more of it's going to be a tough game that obviously with Mr. Diaz, Brereton Diaz, in the form that he's in. I think if you can keep him quiet, then you'll have a good chance. But that would be a difficult one. We never normally travel well up north. So, I mean, I think if we came away from that game with the draw, you'd probably be pretty pretty happy. I think you always say a point away from home is always a good point. But I think if you get 4 points in this week, it's another good week, and you can really focus on that Bournemouth game coming up the following week. So,
and Nick, points prediction for this week?
Yeah, two games. I'll go with three, and I think we'll beat Blackpool, maybe lose to Blackburn, just because they're quite free scoring. Brereton Diaz is in great form. He didn't start yesterday because of a chilly late game on, I think, Thursday or whatever it was. But yeah, Blackpool, I think we should win. They have picked up well, Blackpool. I wouldn't underestimate them, but I think we've got the quality and the defence is looking pretty solid. So I don't see why we shouldn't go and win that, maybe 2-0. Blackburn will be tough. I don't think it's impossible to get a result there, but I just feel like away from home, the way they attack, we're not quite free scoring ourselves at the moment. I think obviously we're struggling up front a little bit, but yeah, if we could get a draw, if we can get 4 points, I'd be very happy out of that.
Yeah, 4 points would certainly be a decent return for Reading this week, you'd like to think. And at the end of this week coming up, we'll be back. Elm Park Royals podcast preview show will be out later in the week, previewing the Blackburn game at the weekend, along with the review for the Blackpool game in midweek on Wednesday night. So join us then, and we will look forward to you listening along with us, discussing Royals fortunes 21-22. Hopefully more wins to come. Cheers, Matt and Nick, for today. Cheers, everyone.